Lord. Once again, it is a privilege, it's an honor to have you here with us. We're here to worship the Lord, hear from His Word. So everybody finds their place in Mark chapter number 4. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's ask the Lord that if He would, to help us to have our hearts prepared to receive what God has for us today. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning we come to You and we thank You, Lord, for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed to save us from our sins. And God, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that wooed us and drew us to the Lord Jesus Himself. And God, we thank You this morning for the Word of God that's told us about Your love for us and told us, Lord, how to be saved. And God, we pray this morning that there be one here in this auditorium this morning without Christ that does not know Jesus, that today would be the day that they come to meet Jesus. And God, maybe there's some here that's backslidden, and God, You would convict and deal with them in love and patience, but deal with them surely and draw them back to Your side. And then maybe there's some here that are discouraged today, going through, just rough times and rough patches of life. And God, would You show them today that You care and You love them and You're there to help them. God, I pray You'd help us through and by Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit. God, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Doctor told his patient one day, he called his patient and he said, sir, he said, I have some bad news and I have some worse news. And the patient said, all right, doc, well, let's hear it. And the doctor said, sir, you have 24 hours to live. The patient said, doc, I said, man, what could be worse than that? He said, I was supposed to call you and tell you yesterday. Amen. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is sometimes life seems like that. Seems like we go through times and all of our news is bad or worse. It seems like we're going, somebody said this one time, somebody said you're either in a storm, you've just come out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. Well, when we come to Mark chapter number 4, we have a story, not just a story, but a recorded historical factual record of a story of the disciples and the Lord Jesus when they went through a storm. Now, I understand the fact of the matter is that they literally went through a physical storm of the weather. But this recorded instance is in the Word of God for you and I to glean truths from and to see how you and I not only can weather a storm of the weather, but whether we can go through a storm of life. And with the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach on this thought. In the storms of life. In the storms of life. I call your attention to Mark chapter number 4. And we'll look down in verse number 35. The Bible said, in the same day, when the evening was come, He saith unto them, that is, Jesus said to His disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. Verse 36 says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. There were also with Him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? In the storms of life. These disciples this day, the same day that they were listening to Jesus teach, and He commands them and tells them, let's get in the boat, boys. He said, let us pass over to the other side. I want to say to you this morning that they were walking in complete, total, perfect obedience to the Lord's will. When Jesus spoke in Luke chapter number 8, when Luke records this instance, in Luke 8:22, Luke says that when Jesus spoke, that they launched forth. That is, they didn't sit around waiting. They didn't say, oh, we'll wait a little while. The Bible says in Luke 8 that they launched forth. In other words, when Jesus spoke, He said, jump. They said, how high? They said, let's go. They launched forth. I say to you, they were in the perfect will of God, and they sailed straight into the eye of one of the worst storms they ever faced. Matthew chapter number 8, verse 24, Matthew calls it a great tempest. And he said that the ship was covered with waves. Mark said it was a great storm. Notice the word great there. It's the word we get mega. It's huge. It's a vast storm. It's a great storm, a great tempest. And Mark said that the waves beat into the ship, and he said it was now full. So here we had the idea. They're in a storm. The waves are rolling and rocking, and the waves are over top. They're coming into the boat, and not only are they coming and splashing in, but now Mark says that the ship was now full. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of ships are meant to be in the water, but I don't know about a lot of water meant to be in the ship. And then Luke said again in Luke 8:23 that they were filled with water. And then in Luke 8:23, listen to what Luke said. Luke said, and were in jeopardy. So here's these disciples. These disciples who no doubt, some of them were fishermen. They'd been on boats before. No doubt they'd seen a storm before. But there's something about this storm that God inspired. And He said, I want you to write about this storm. I want you to write it down. So in 2,000 years, my people in New Hope Baptist Church, all across America, wherever they are, can open up the Word of God and can read about what happened in the midst of this storm. I'm telling you, there are some lessons that you and I can learn in the storms of life. And I would say to you that these disciples had been in a storm before. And when the Bible says that the boat was full, they were full, and they were in jeopardy, I say that kind of language ought to make us sit up, look, listen, and learn and say, what in the world is going on here? Some fishermen said they were in jeopardy. That is, they're in trouble. I want to remind you sometimes, even in the Christian life, you and I are going to encounter storms in life. I know there's a host of people out here that will tell you, sir, man, that if you'll live for God and you'll be faithful to God, that you'll never have anything go wrong, and God wants you to bless you, and God's going to prosper you. You're never going to hit any hard road, and if you do, you're not right with God. I got news for you. Them folks is lying to you. The Bible says, yea, and all they that do live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hey, I got news for you. We're going to face storms. We're going to face trials. We're going to face hardships of life. And it's not always because of our disobedience. Now, let me say something, that while there may be times in our life that disobedience does cause us to encounter storms. Example of that is Jonah. Y'all remember Jonah? God told him to go to Nineveh. He went in a different direction. And old Nineveh wound up in the midst of a storm. Jonah wound up in the midst of a storm and eventually in the belly of a whale. His disobedience brought him into a storm. But while there may be times that disobedience can cause storms in our life, there are yet other times when our perfect obedience to the Lord's commands and His will lead us directly into the eye of the storms of life. I want you to notice some things about these storms. When we think about storms in life, I want you to think this. Number one, storms are sure. They're going to come. Hey, a storm arises when a warm front hits a cold front, and when the warm front and the cold front, hey, it develops a certain type of storm. Storms are going to take place in this life. As listen, we're in the Christian world, and as we live a Christian walk, and listen, there's the powers that be of God, of the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son, and then there's also the kingdom of darkness. And listen, when those two kingdoms are butting heads, there's going to be storms in this life. Amen. God's in control, and Satan knows His day has been set and His doom day is coming. Hey, but he's going to fight until he has cast into his abyss. And we are going to face storms in this life. Storms are sure. Just as sure as I'm standing here talking to you, hey, you're either in a storm, just come out of one, or you're fixing to head into one. Buckle up. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to preach gloom and doom, but I'm trying to get you to see the reality is that you and I are going to face storms in our life.
Amen.
Storms not only are sure, but they're sudden. Think about this, that where these disciples were on the sea, they say that it goes down and it's like 700 feet below sea level. And the way that the canyons and the mountains are there, that it forms like a wind tunnel, that the wind just comes down in almost like a suction, and it comes down across that sea. And at erroneous times, at different times, various all the way through the day, there could come up storms at any time because of the geographical layout of that sea. And as you think about that, these disciples, no doubt some of them fishermen, they had been on this sea before. They had been on other seas before. They had been in boats and they had encountered storms. They knew something about storms. But this storm caught them off guard. This storm, had they known it, they would not have went. Had they known that they were going to run into this storm, no doubt they would have said, hold up, let's wait. Storms come up suddenly in our life. I'm talking about you can be going through life, seem like you're just sailing along, everything's going along, and one time you get one phone call, and one phone call could turn your world upside down. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be a disease. It could be cancer. It could be the loss of a job. It could be a loss of a friend. It could be something, betrayal, different things. And boom, just like that, storms come into your life suddenly. And I say this, storms are severe. Listen, when we notice about these fishermen, they were afraid. Not only had they been in storms and seen storms, but no doubt they had weathered some. But something about this storm caused them to be afraid. They're scared. Luke said they were in jeopardy. That is, they realized that their lives were at stake. Can I say sometimes you're going to go through storms and it's going to be the hardest, the lowest point. I'm talking about it's going to hurt, and you're going to go through these storms, whether it be physical or financial or however they may be, and they're going to affect you in different ways, and they're going to be severe. Storms are severe. Storms tear things up. Storms leave damage. Storms leave a path. But I will say this, that not only that, storms are also serving. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm saying this, that if you and I would be willing, God can teach us and mold us through the storms of life. God has a purpose for the storms He has allowed in our lives. Nahum, I know there's a lot of people that would say, oh, when you run into a storm, it's the devil. I want to serve you notice, that's a lie. Just because you go through a storm don't mean it's the devil. The Bible said in Nahum chapter number 1 and verse 3 that the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Did you hear that? The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Psalm 107:25 says, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth the waves thereof. I'm telling you that our God is a sovereign God and He's in total control of the storms that come into our life. Can I say to you this morning that what seems like a problem to us is already and always under our Father's providential care and control? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that nothing that touches you can get to you before it sifts through the hands of your Father. Think about that. What the problem you face today, God's already sifted through it. And He's not going to allow anything to touch you that He hadn't already deemed worthy to come into your life. God, listen, God either directly causes or indirectly allows everything that happens in your life. I want to say this. God does not allow storms in our life to destroy us, but rather to develop us. He does not allow storms in our life to hurt us, but rather to help us. He doesn't allow storms in our life to put an end to us, but rather to equip us and to establish us so that we can further walk the Christian walk in faith. Storms, listen, storms present opportunities. You say, what kind of opportunity do the storms present, preacher? Storms offer opportunities of growth. Storms offer opportunities of us drawing closer to our Lord. Storms offer opportunities for us to have our faith strengthened. Can I say to you this morning that a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted? And God allows us to go through storms, and these storms present opportunities for you and I to grow and to be strengthened in our faith. You need to remember something else. Storms don't last forever. Have you ever been through a bad storm? You've seen a bad storm. You've watched a bad storm. You've heard about a bad storm. The bad storm doesn't last forever. But they are part of the journey of life. They are part of what we're going through. You can't have nice cold days in the winter and nice hot days in the summer without somewhere in between having a storm here and there. And storms are sure to come, but they do not last forever. They do not come to stay. Thank God, the storms in our life, they come to pass. Let me say this when you're in a storm. You might want to remember this. It could get worse, but it's going to get better.
Amen.
On your worst day, the worst phone call you get, think about this. It could get worse, but it's going to get better. It's going to get better. You say, how do you know it's going to get better? Because I'm going to tell you, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes and He calls His bride home, there'll be no more storms.
Right.
Notice these disciples, they had some things. I give you this by way of introduction. These disciples, they had the Lord's promise. You say, what was the promise? And I say to you that His promises are more than quotes to hang on a wall. They're checks to take to the bank. Jesus told His disciples, let us pass over to the other side. Stop thinking about that. Do you think Jesus knew about that storm before He told them that? Do you think that Jesus, I'm talking about the God-man, the God of heaven and earth, that had come down to this earth, been born of a woman, do you think that He knew that the day He told them to get on the ship, let's go to the other side? Do you think that in His sovereign mind, He already knew they were going to go into the biggest storm of their life? You better bet your bottom dollar He knew it. He knew exactly where they were headed. He knew when they would be there. He knew when the storm would arrive. He knew how bad the storm would be. And Jesus said, let us arise. Pass over to the other side.
Amen.
Can I say to you, He didn't always promise that there'd be calm sailing, but He has promised us a sure landing.
Amen.
We're going to the other side.
Amen.
They had His promise, but not only that, they had His presence. Watch this. They were in the midst of the biggest storm of their life, and the Bible says that Jesus was in the hinder part of the boat. Stop, think about that. If you're a child of God and you're saved, in a picture, you're in the boat with Him. Are you with me? When you got saved, you said, I'm trusting You, I'm following You, and you got in the boat. Hold on. If you're in the boat with Him, it don't matter what storm you go through, it doesn't matter what sickness, doesn't matter what financial circumstances you go through, doesn't matter what kind of family problems you have, doesn't matter what kind of church problems you have, doesn't matter what kind of money problems you have, doesn't matter what anything you go through in life, I promise you, if you're His child, He is with you. You've got His presence. Not only do we have His promise, not only do we have His presence, but they had His peace. Say, what are you talking about? Watch it, man. Watch the story in the Bible. It says Jesus was in the hinder part of the boat, and it says He was asleep with His head on a pillow. I don't know about y'all, but I mean, if I'm in the midst of a storm, I don't know how much sleeping I'm going to be doing. I mean, you're going to have to be real tired to sleep through this kind of storm. But Jesus, He knew how it's going to come out.
Amen.
Jesus knew they was going to the other side.
Amen.
Jesus knew about the storm before He told them to get in the boat. He lay there with His head on the pillow. You know, His disciples should have drew peace from that. They should have looked over there and said, if He's asleep, we ought to just kick back and relax and enjoy the ride. But you know what? It doesn't always happen like that, does it? We go through storms and we know He's in control. We know He knows. Intellectually we do. But it seems like we get our eyes off of Him and we get our eyes on the storm, and when the storms hit, we think, oh no, this is the big one! I'm never going to come back up. I'm not going to make it through. I mean, am I preaching to myself? Have we ever been there? Have you ever got a phone call and you thought, oh no, it'll never go get over this? I'm glad the rest of y'all's got it made, but I've had them kind of phone calls. Listen, I've faced days, and listen, I've gone through storms. And if you're honest, you have, and if you hadn't, you better hold on, because they're coming. And we ought to know, and we ought to have full assurance and confidence to know that our God's in control. We have His promise. We have His presence. We can have His peace. But many times, we get our eyes and our focus off of Him, and we see all the problems. We see all the storm. And we don't focus on the Savior. But there are some great truths, I say to you, that Jesus taught His disciples that day. And there's some great truths that you and I can learn when we go through the storms. Truths that are revealed, lessons we can learn when we encounter and when we enter into the storms of life. I say to you once again, and I'll give you a few things about these storms that we can learn, but I say to you one more time that when you go through a storm, it is not an accident. It is a providential act of God, and He has a purpose for every storm that He allows you to enter. There's a purpose. What are they, preacher? Can I say number one? In the storms of life, we are reminded and we can realize that we are in need of the Master.
Right.
We are in need of the Master. In verse number 38 of our text, the Bible said, after the verse 37, the storm rose. In verse 38, He was asleep. And the Bible said, and they awake Him. You know what happened when they hit the storm? They realized that they was in a storm that they couldn't control. They were going through something they couldn't fix. Must have been a storm like they never saw. And they realized that where they were at, what they were going through, they needed somebody a whole lot bigger than they were, a whole lot more powerful than they were, a whole lot more in control than they were. And they realized that they needed Jesus. Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, when we go through times in life that are storms and trials, sometimes God allows them things to come into our life. Sometimes He allows those winds to blow in our life. Sometimes He allows the water to come into the boat of our life because we get our focus off of Him and we think we got it all under control and we're just sailing along and we think, oh, it's all good. I got this under control. And we don't realize that we're ignoring Him, not depending on Him. And sometimes He allows storms in our life to show us that we still need Him.
Right.
We need Him. I need Him. I need Thee every hour. I need Him. Sometimes in storms we can realize and be reminded of our need of the Master. I still need Him, don't you?
Amen.
Number two, in storms of life we realize and we're reminded not only of our need, but of our Master's availability. Can I say that when they went to the bottom of the ship, that hinder part, when they went down there where He was asleep, can I say He was in the boat? He hadn't saw the storm coming and checked out and said, I'm out of here. Y'all going through a hard time. No, He was there. You know where He's at today? If you're saved, He's just as close as you want Him.
Right.
James said, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Are you listening? You're just as close to Him as you want to be. When you go through the trials of life and you realize that you have a need, I want to remind you this morning that He is there. He is always there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. I'm talking about when you got saved, you got the dearest friend you ever had. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He's not checking out when the mailman comes with bad news. He's not checking out when the phone rings with bad news. He's not checking out when no bad news comes. I'm telling you, when the bad news comes, He's there and He cares and He wants to hear from you. Number three, in the storms of life, you can realize and be reminded of our distance from the Master. No doubt the disciples that day, they got on the boat, Jesus was with them. And I don't know if they did it purposely or just by happenstance. They got busy. They're sailing. They're doing their things. Maybe some of them wanting to cast the net, talking about the big bass that went under the boat. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know. But somewhere along the line, Jesus slipped down and went and laid down and went to sleep. There had been a distance. Though they were in the boat, they weren't as close as they had been when they got on the boat. Sometimes storms help us to realize and remind us of our distance from the Master. I noticed this though. They didn't have to go far to find Him. I don't know what y'all think about this morning, but I want you to think about this. When the storms hit, they didn't have to send out a search committee.
Right.
When the storms hit, they didn't have to get the radar out. Where'd He go? He's down there sleeping, but He wasn't far away. The tragedy is with some in the church, some Christians, when storms come into their life, they're so far away from God that when the storms hit, they got to go looking and wonder, where did I leave Him? Doesn't mean they're not saved. But I'm glad this morning to tell you that you can walk so close to Him that when the storms of life arise, you can look over and He'll be standing by your side. I'm telling you, somewhere in the shadows, you go find Jesus. He's there, He's there, He's there. And He's just as close as you'll let Him be.
Amen.
And sometimes it takes storms in our life for us to realize the distance that we've allowed to come in between or to reveal and to show us how close we are. Some of the greatest Christians that we would deem our heroes, the reason that they have been recognized as spiritual heroes is because God has allowed them to encounter a storm. And when they've gone through the storm of life, it was revealed in their life that they were already walking close with Jesus. They didn't have to go getting right with God. They didn't have to go get a bunch of sins confessed. They didn't have to, God forgive me, church forgive me. No. When the storms hit, they were already there.
Right.
And think about one of my heroes, Lee Robertson. Lee Robertson lost the daughter, Joy, and he started a camp, and everybody knows about Camp Joy, and everybody knows about Brother Lee Robertson and the great ministry that he had, and the church that he pastored, and the college he started, and everything. Hey, but can I say to you that Camp Joy was started because he was walking with God when a storm came into his life? And others we could talk about. Number four, in times of storms of our life, we can realize and be reminded that our Master cares for His children. Our Master, that's Jesus. He does care for His children. They went and woke Him up, and this is what they said. They said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" You imagine waking Him up? He's down there asleep. "Hey, Jesus, Master, don't you know we're about to die? Don't you care?" Many times we honest in our humanity and we're frail. We ask the same similar question. Many times, "God, you're going to let me down to hell? Don't you care I'm going through this?" I just want to remind you this morning, He cares. He cares. He cares. You say, "How do I know He cares?" Hey, I'll tell you how I know He cares. Because He got up and the Bible said He arose and He rebuked the wind. Are you listening? And He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." You see, the Bible says something very interesting over in 1 Peter 5. Verse number 7, Peter wrote and he said, "Casting all our care upon Him." Why? Why, Peter? "For He careth for you." Peter said, "I've been through some things. I watched the Lord Jesus." He said, "I'm telling you, hey, when you ask Him if He cares, you better believe He cares. He said you can cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you." Peter said, "I was in the boat that night." Peter said, "The storms raged. The water filled up the boat. All us boys, we thought we was a-fixing to die." He said, "I was looking around wondering what was we was in jeopardy." We woke Jesus up and said, "Don't you care, Master?" And He got up and He proved to us He cares. Oh yeah, you better believe Jesus cares when your heart's sad. He cares when your heart's blue. Jesus cares when your friends forsake you. Jesus cares when your body's hurting. Jesus cares when your mind's at unrest. Jesus cares no matter what you're facing. Jesus cares. He cares. He cares. He cares for you.
Amen.
He rose. He rebuked the wind. I'd like to have been there that night. I'd like to have been there that night. I'd have liked to have heard it. Hey, wind, quit blowing. I see. Peace be still. I'd like to have heard that. Could you imagine what it would have sounded like that night? It wasn't a meteorologist. It wasn't a weatherman telling you, well, it's not going to rain today, and then they rain. You want to go fishing? Oh, it's not going to rain. And then all of a sudden you get out there and here comes the storm. No, this was the Master. This was the one who created the sea, created the mountains, created the people.
Amen.
And he got up and he said, wind, that's enough. Hey, see, peace, be still.
Hallelujah.
You say, well, anybody can say that, but I want you to see something else. Because not only do we realize He cares, but in the storms of life we realize and we're reminded of our Master's power. Notice what happened there in verse 39 through 41. When He said, peace, be still, watch what happened. Watch. And eventually, the seas came to a rolling rest. Is that what your Bible says? It's not what it says. He said, peace, be still. Watch this. And the wind ceased. Not only did the wind cease, I like this next phrase, and there was a great calm. Notice now, He didn't just say there was a calm. He said there was a great calm. Now, I've been on some ocean waters. I've watched the white caps. I've been there. I got thrown off of a bench one day over a cooler and landed in the floor. It was pretty rough. And I remember when we sailed back out of the ocean and got back into the bay, and when we come into the inlet, I remember how still the inlet was. But the inlet still had some rock in it. Now, when Jesus said, peace be still, the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You say, what does that mean, preacher? I believe it was like this. You argue with me if you want. But I believe when it says there was a great calm, I believe you could have looked out across that water and it would have been like looking across the sheet of ice. I believe it would have been so flat. I believe you probably could have laid a straight edge on it and not found a ripple. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, He has power.
Amen.
The wind ceased. There was a great calm. In such a matter, watch this. Then in verse 41, they said, what manner of man is this? Got their attention. It says they feared. Now in verse 40, they were fearful, and it's like a cowardly fear. But in verse 41, that word for fear, it's a reverential awe of fear, like of worship. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Can I say to you this morning, that He who sends the storm steers the vessel and secures His children. He doesn't send you anywhere that He can't control. He won't place you anywhere where He can't intervene. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 107. He said, they go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the storm and wind, lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. You get the idea. They're in the midst of a storm. These are people that work on a boat. They're going through a storm. It's rocking to and fro. They don't know what to do. Verse 28 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. What happens? And He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. I wonder if any of them disciples that night remembered that verse. Hey, let's wake Him up! But that's what happened. They woke Him up. And His power was displayed. And He calmed the storm that night. But I want to say to you that not only does He have the power to calm the storm on the sea that night, but I want to say to you that the God of heaven that cares about you, and He has power, and I'm telling you, He has enough power that He can calm the storms in your life today. If you're lost and without God, and you're going through the storm of sin, I'm telling you, He can calm that storm. One drop of His precious blood. Hey, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's hand. And sinners plunged into that blood lose all their guilty stains. I'm telling you that if you're lost and you're going through the storm of sin, Jesus can calm that storm if you'll give your life to Him today. I tell you, if you're saved and you're going through trials and heartaches and whatever you may be going through, and hardships and financial or physical or however they may be, I'm telling you, if you'll give it to Him, if you'll do like Peter said and cast all your care, you'll find out He cares for you. He's got power to say, peace, be still to the storms in your life. And I say this, in the storms of life, we realize and we're reminded of our need to trust the Master. Our need to trust the Master. In verse 40, Jesus somewhat rebuked His disciples. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? See, they had seen Him before. They had seen His power. They had seen Him heal. They had seen Him do miraculous works. And now they're going through a storm. They need something and they're scared. Their lack of faith led to their fear. And I say to you that when we go through these storms, instead of being feared and affrighted, we ought to remember the one who created the storm and the one who can calm the storm. He's got the power. He can calm the storm in your life today. Immediately, He can say, peace, be still. See, we come to church. We learn about God. We learn about Jesus on a weekly basis. We act like we know everything there is about God. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I know that. I know that. But when a storm comes, when trials hit, when we sail our boat, goes into the midst of a storm, how do we react? Do we become chaotic, frenzied, because we realize that we're not in control? The storms will reveal that. So do we lose it? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or when storms come into our life, are we calm? Because we're trusting the God who's in control. We claim to know about Him. But my question is, do we know Him? Do we know Him and trust Him? When trials come, they're going to reveal. When storms come into your life, it's going to be made manifest. You're either going to fall to pieces or you're going to fall at the feet of Jesus. Do you know Him today? Do you know Him? Let me ask you this question. Are you even in the boat? Are you even saved? Can I say, I don't know how people of the world face the storms of life. We all go through storms. Lost people, saved people, people's walking right, people's backslid. We all going to go through storms. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. My question is, how in the world do they make it? How do you think you're going to make it through life without Jesus? I've got news for you. If that's you today, you come down here to an old-fashioned altar, and because Jesus loved you so much that He laid down His life and He died on a place called Calvary, laid down His life on an old rugged cross, shed His blood, gave His life. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and He come up out of that grave victorious. He did it for you. If you'll repent of your sin, trust Jesus Christ, He will save you today. And then maybe you're here today and you're saved. As we stand up with heads bowed and eyes closed, all across the auditorium, you know you're saved. But you're going through a storm. Or maybe you've just come through them. Or maybe you're trying to be prepared because you know one's coming. God help you. God will help you. God cares. If you need to come, He'll give you help today. Let some already come. You mind the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, take the message. Use it according to your will. Save souls who need to be saved. Encourage Christians. And help us, God, for your glory, your honor. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. We're standing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.